You are listening to episode 95.
And I also would like to introduce today the Okiki Video Bootcamp. Yes, I will be launching a course, which I will have a wait list in the show notes. And I will be launching some group coaching as well. I know there has been a lot of requests lately of people wanting to learn how can they create content for their own brands. And so I'm looking forward to bringing you along on the journey with that. If that's something that you've wanted to gain skills and techniques on, this will be for you. You'll learn systems on how to create content effectively and efficiently and have more time for yourself in the process while reaching your clients. Again, you can find the information for the Okiki Video Bootcamp in the show notes below. On today's episode, I get to interview an incredible guest with a very inspiring story. His name is Cameron Engler, and he went from going through foster care and dealing with a lot of challenges very early in his life to building wealth in housing and real estate for him and his young family. And we're going to learn about his journey and motivation and his desire to motivate others too in today's episode. By the way, if you've been enjoying the Okiki podcast, don't forget to like, subscribe, and leave a comment and leave a rating for us on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify. And let us know, let me know, how is the podcast going for you guys? And what episodes are really standing out to you and giving you lessons throughout your week? And by the way, this podcast is brought to you by Okiki Consulting. We empower brands to tell their stories through video content. So whether that's video content strategy, support with editing content, or video production for your company, we are here with the solutions for you, and we offer it in both English and French. Visit us today at Okiki Consulting, that's OKIKI Consulting, to learn more. And on with today's episode.
Welcome to the Okiki Podcast, where we make inspirational people known. Brought to you by your host, Fionn O'Brien.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Okiki Podcast. And today I have an amazing guest. His name is Cameron Engler, and he is a sales trainer, speaker, entrepreneur, and designing a real estate empire, I believe called the Engler Group. And he is also someone who has formerly worked in the construction business. And at 19, he jumped into this industry, which is incredible. And he went from selling zero to millions year after year. And he's on a mission to help others do the same. So I'm very excited to have this guest on the podcast as another fellow millennial and doing a lot of amazing things in this industry with how everything's changing. So thank you for being on the podcast today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So yeah, I want to ask you because of course we know from your bio, you started in construction. So what was exactly your path and journey into becoming an entrepreneur? Like, was that something you always wanted to do? Or did you have other things in mind growing up in terms of your educational and career path?
Yeah, so to go all the way back, like, I don't come from money. My parents actually, you know, they were always working, but we were always worried about the lights might be cut off. You know, food stamps was like a normal thing and waiting for tax time to, you know, get the new stuff. I actually did not even think about entrepreneurship at all, or being a business person, being in business, starting a business at all whenever I was growing up. In my mind, you know, the only way for me to get out was to get a college education, but we were poor. So it had been, you know, kind of programmed into me that the only way you're getting out is to get a scholarship for football and you got to go get a degree. That was all I was focused on from probably 7 years old, basically until I was 19. A lot of stuff happened in between there that shaped, you know, who I am today. But I was only focused on going to college and getting a degree. I thought I was going to be the next NFL player. That's what I had in mind.
That's amazing. Yeah. And it's very true. I think most of us are served that linear path. And although there's nothing wrong with it, of course, that is what most of us are given. So thank you for your transparency in that. And so what in that pathway of having that original dream, I guess, of NFL and college and football, where did those pivots begin to happen where it was like, oh, there's other things I could possibly do as well?
Yeah. So I was focused on that. You know, I didn't go party or anything. I was like, I'm getting rich and NFL is how I'm going to do it, or at least go to college. And I don't know what I'm going to do there once I get a degree, but that's what I got to do. So focused on that. And then at 16, I find out I'm having a baby, and it wasn't really scary for me. But first thing I thought of was got to get a job, because my dad and mom had me early too. So I had kind of already heard, you know, what it would be like. I wasn't really scared of it. I was like, yeah, I'm getting a job, still going to finish school. I'll go to college, focus on football still. And then a couple days later, in my mind, it feels like a couple days. It may have been a week or so. Walk in to go get on the school bus, and two guys in these suits come and pick me and my brother up. And they're like, hey, you need to come with us. I'm like, what's going on? Who is this? Like, look like the Secret Service was picking us up. And it ended up being DFACS. They had came because my parents, we didn't really have anything happen to us. You know, they did the best that they could. They tried to take care of us, but I think, you know, just the struggle of life, they ended up turning to drugs and selling, and I guess they ended up doing them as well. And anyway, one thing led to another. I still to this day don't know the exact situation, like of the details of how DFACS got involved and decided to come and pick us up, but they picked us up and we didn't know anything. They wouldn't tell us anything. They just said, hey, if something's happened with your mom. My dad had already been put in jail at this point, and you're now property of the state. And anyway, so we ended up going to this one family. They were younger. They tried to keep me and my three other siblings together. And that's really hard whenever you're in the system, you know. Most of the time, if you're older kids, they want to split you up. They tried to keep us together, but it was a younger family. They just couldn't do it. We stayed there for about a month. And then they took me and I'm the oldest. They took me and my brother. We went and lived with this family. And then they took my two younger siblings and they lived together in a different home. And thankfully, I was scared to death, but thankfully the family that they put me and my brother with, they put us with a retired lawyer. So he had already made his money, nice home. And it was like the nicest thing that we had experienced up to that point. And so I kind of got to see what it was like to have upper middle class life. And I remember one time he knew that, you know, we hadn't really experienced anything. And he said, hey, can I show you something? And he brought out this box. I'll never forget it. It was just a box. And he opened it up and it was nothing but diamonds, emeralds, like gold, and just regular stones, just like, but the entire box was full of them, like stuff that you would pay, you know, 10 grand to put into a ring. Imagine like hundreds. And I was just like, what is this? And it was basically some of his clients that couldn't make payment. That was their way. If they didn't have cash, they'd pay him with other stuff. And I think at that moment, I was like, okay, there is something else that you can do to live the lifestyle that I envision myself living. And I think that was, you know, living with them was kind of like the thing that showed me, right, there might be another way, because I'm 5'9", you know, NFL might not be the ticket for me. I think that really showed me I might have a better chance at going that route NFL, but I still tried to pursue it after that. So
that's an incredible story, and just hearing like these unique pathways and like having a plan and then the plan kind of getting deviated by life itself, which happens definitely. And your case, probably a more intense story than maybe most people, but definitely there's a lot of people that can identify with that too. And I'm hoping that they're hearing this podcast and being inspired by that, inspired by you and the fact that this is something you came from and had to deal with at a very young age. And so, yeah, you talked about still pursuing it. I'm assuming, did you end up finishing college? And then what was like the next step to going, okay, you know what? Let's see what else is out there for me that I can actually pursue that can provide income. And at what point in that journey did you realize it was being an entrepreneur?
Yeah. So to pick up on the story, so we lived with that retired lawyer, that family. We lived with him for about 2.5 years. And throughout that period, my parents were still cooperating with the state, following the rules that they needed to work on their case plan. Because the way it works, you know, they try to get the parents rehabilitated to where, you know, the kids can come back most of the time. But the entire time, the foster parents, they're trying to adopt the kids. It's a scheme is what it is. Anyway, so my dad actually was able to get us back because it just worked out. I remember going in front of the judge, you know, because they bring the children and the families and everything whenever you want to go back home and whenever the parents are, you know, in a position where it might can happen. And the judge hears everybody's, do you want to go home? And who doesn't want them to go home? I don't think the younger siblings went, but the judge, she asked, you know, because she heard us out, we want to go home. And she asked, does anybody object to this? And it got really silent. And this one lady was like, oh yeah, I don't want them to go home. It's unfit still. But thankfully the judge, you know, heard us out and let us go. So we went back home. I ended up getting a scholarship to go play at the NAIA level. So my childhood dream was coming true. I had worked for this for a very long time. It was only one scholarship, but it was like my dream was coming true. The only problem was it was all the way in North Dakota. So I'm a Georgia boy, and that's across the country. And I have my son here in Georgia. So I ended up going still because to me, it was still the only way out. I said, I'm going to go and get a degree. So I married my wife before the morning of I left. I married her at 9. I got on a plane at 12. It was ridiculous. I shouldn't have done that to her, but I did. I wanted to make it happen before I left. And anyway, I go and I only stayed there for a semester. I ended up being able to play as a freshman and it was cool and all, but college to me, I didn't even know why I was there. Once I got there, I was learning, I was going to classes, but I was like, after I get my degree, I don't even know. Like I just did a general business. I didn't even know what the heck I wanted to do. And after about 6 months, you know, we played our season and the coach before I left had really made it a point. Hey, if you start, I'll be able to work something out with you on your scholarship, make it a full ride. You know, whatever we need to do, we'll get your wife up here. All she's got to do is take the ACT. We'll get you on Merrill housing. We'll get her in the school. Don't worry about it. And the season ended. And I asked him, I said, so how about that scholarship money? You know, and he was like, well, there's been a change of plans. I need all the funds we can get to recruit more people next year. So none of that's happening. And I just made up my mind at that point. I said, I don't even know what I'm doing here. I'm still taking out loans, even though I got a scholarship. And, you know, the state, since we were in foster care, they covered some. But even after all that, I still had to take out some loans. And I was like, I'm going back home. I quit. And I'll never forget whenever I told my coach that, he looked at me, he said, you quit this, you're going to quit everything in your life and you'll never be anything, nothing. And I remember hearing those words coming from him. And I just told myself, I'm going to become something big. I don't care what it takes. He asked me, do you have anything to say to me? I just walked away, never spoke to him since. And went back home a couple months later. My dad was in construction. He's been in construction all his life. So I said, I need to go to work. Came back. I started working with him. But, you know, he was still getting on his feet. You know, he was locked up for a few years for the drug stuff. And he was still kind of building that up. So there wasn't really room for me to even work with him. But he gave me an opportunity anyway, just because he knew I wouldn't be able to make that kind of money anywhere else. So work with him for, I want to say about a year, year and a half. And it ended up getting to a point where I seen potential for it. I was like, I'm going to be a construction worker. And I asked him, I said, what's the opportunity here? You know, I would like to make $1,000, $1,500 a week. Like, that's where my mind was. And he was like, son, I've been doing this 18 years. I don't make that much money. And you're not going to either until you work at least 10 years in this business. And at the time, I was making $230 a week. I had bills to pay. I had things that I had to do. And waiting 10 years on that just was not an option for me. So that night I went home, Googled, what's the top paying jobs for people with just a high school diploma? And insurance, real estate, and financial advising was the top three. And real estate, I had always heard, was a good thing to get into. So I looked up how to get into real estate agent, took the course and got in. And, you know, I just started focusing on how to learn sales marketing. For the entire year while I was taking my course for real estate, I was also focusing on how to sell. I was taking anything I could get my hands on. But so I was manifesting it before I even had the thing. So
I'm super inspired by that. What I hear is this pattern of things being spoken to you or over you, like limitations, and you like constantly defying that and constantly going, well, that's a nice opinion, but this is what I want to do. So for some of the listeners today, even hearing that right before you get into like more of your real estate, and thank you so much for giving us the sincere background on your life on getting here. What did you have to do internally to fight that? Because I think a lot of people will want to go for things and have different people in their life, whether it's out of love or whether it's out of, you know, concern, or whether it's out of the fact that they just don't even believe in them, that will say all sorts of things. So what was your process? Did you even have one really that helped you kind of say like, I'm going to guard myself from this and keep moving forward?
You know, for me, I had always envisioned myself helping a lot of people, being somewhat in the spotlight. And even from whenever I was like 4 or 5 years old, I had always had a vision of that, inspiring people. I have always, whenever I'm faced with obstacles, stuff that comes up in life, refocusing on that dream, despite what anybody says, and not only believing, but knowing if I put forth effort towards this, no matter what gets in my way, it will happen. I think you just got to believe in yourself. You have complete control over everything in your life. It's no other person. It doesn't matter about the money. You have control. And I've just told myself that if I want it to happen, it'll end up happening. It may not happen immediately, but it'll happen come hell or high water. So you just got to believe in yourself. And I think that's a big problem. I think most people tell themselves, oh, I believe in myself, but you don't actually feel that way. Whenever I say refocus on the dream or whatever vision you have, it's not just focusing on it. You have to like feel it. What does it feel like whenever you're there? Like I still to this day envision myself once I get there, how does the steering wheel of the car that I'm driving feel? How do I talk? How do I walk? How am I dressed? And really experience that like in your mind. Anytime that I'm faced with adversity, that's what has helped me, just refocusing on that. And it kind of reawakens the fire, throws some gasoline on it, you know, so that's what's helped me.
Fantastic answer. Very helpful for our audience. And so you did all this training, you researched those top jobs, you found out real estate was a really good one to get into, which led you into other self-education paths. So in your journey of doing real estate, how long did it take you to really kind of realize, hey, I got a hang of this? And at what point did you start the Angler group?
I still to this day don't think I got a hang of this. I'm constantly learning. And there has not been one, you know, thing that I have learned that has been like the key or the answer. And I think that's why self-development forever is key, because each thing that I have learned, each person I've learned from has given me a piece to, I think, the big puzzle. Some people more than others. And there's some people that I would like to model more my life after more. I'm still learning. And I started the Angler group back in 2020, right before COVID. Well, I guess it was right during COVID. And my wife got in. I actually did not intend on starting a team in the beginning. for me, real estate was just a means to make money. And it's kind of turned into a business unintentionally. So the reason we even started the team is actually I was not performing as good as I wanted to. So I was making six figures. And I think at the time I was younger, I was 20, 21, 20. And I think this false sense of entrepreneurship and wanting things really quick, zero patience. I've grinded for 3 years. I need the jet, you know? And I think that was caused a lot by social media. And my advice to anybody that is thinking about getting started or even in it, do not let social media, it's not reality. It's not. There's a lot of people on there that have created this lifestyle. Cars are rented. You don't know the money, even if they have real money, how many people have they screwed over to get that money? If you really looked at their business, is it even a legit business? And I've had to learn that along the way. But back to what I was saying, though, the reason I started the Engler team, I wasn't performing. I had zero patience and I just wanted more. I unintentionally scaled by adding another person to my team, my wife, and she saw the money I was making. So we started doing it together. My wife got licensed and, you know, we've just continued to try and learn and grow since then. So
that's amazing. Also the timing of when you launched it. Like, I find that fascinating because I know at one point during the pandemic, things were of course super closed down. And then at one point the real estate market just went crazy. I know particularly in the US it did. So I was curious too, like, I guess, was that more positive for you and your team in general in terms of the timing of scaling up your business? And also knowing that your mission is around helping, you know, families and people to have access to housing as well. How has that affected the different types of people you're trying to work with to help them achieve their dreams as well?
Yeah, I mean, it's been great. I was really scared during COVID because at the beginning of COVID, I had just started this new team, which means my overhead goes up. It basically doubles like everything. And in the beginning, we actually weren't doing that great. Like most of 2020, we didn't do too well. And the town that we were in was like a vacation market. So there was like a delay. There was like a 1 year delay before it hit our little pocket that we worked and really started raising the prices there. But it ended up helping us. We closed. I mean, we did a lot of business, especially during 2021 and 2022. And I think it helped us kind of get a good foundation for, you know, what we're building now. And it allowed me to invest even more into my education and learning, you know, what does it really take to run, not call myself an entrepreneur, but what does it take to really run an actual business? How can I like create something where I'm not the only person making money, where everybody on my team is making money? That was kind of an eye opener for me. And whenever my wife started bringing in the dough too, that was, you know, it helped a lot.
That's for sure. So even just like technically there was like that delay, but then you guys experienced the pickup quite dramatically, like people were seeing in 2021 and 2022. And I know in your description, you talked about like selling like millions. And so I kind of want to tie into that and also the aspect of like what you're saying, building a team and making the real, I guess, cash flow as a business as opposed to like the fake influencer situation that we see. So I guess what has been your experience in reaching those heights from a more, I guess, authentic standpoint? And I guess what surprised you about reaching that level that you don't see on social media, like that, what responsibility or how did it change when you were getting that kind of, I guess, income for your group?
Nobody really has any money until you get to the 500K mark, number one. Like after you pay taxes and you invest in your business and everything, like all these people that are telling other people, you know, I got 100,000, $1 million, stuff like that. A lot of these people, they are saying what their revenue is. It's not real. It's like not even actual money. And it was an eye opener for me because me getting into the online space, like after I started making a little bit of extra money, it kind of gave me a breather to where now I have an opportunity to help other people do this, whether it's on my team. And now I'm kind of getting into the coaching industry, wanted to pursue that. So I'm still pursuing that, impacting people. I want to inspire people. I want to help people. And that's kind of what I'm doing now. But whenever I started making like actual money, you start seeing, it's kind of like the veil is lifted. You start seeing who is real and who isn't on social media. You start seeing kind of deception. There's a lot of deception out there. And that's kind of one of the goals that me and my wife have set that we want to do is whenever we make it, like we want to be completely transparent about everything. Like, because there's a lot of people that really haven't created anything that are basically like scamming people online. And a lot of the people that have made it, you know, whenever they do, they just kind of close the curtain. Once they get theirs, they retract and they just kind of disappear. I'm trying to actually answer your question though. I'm going off on a rabbit hole now.
No, it's helpful just to see like what kind of changed when you did get there versus like, I think you did answer it in a sense, because I think a lot of people have a perception, I guess, of what it feels like. And I think it's interesting as a millennial for you to actually arrive there, like what was the reality versus the, I guess, class kind of thing.
Yeah. The biggest reality for me has been whatever your goal is, 9 times out of 10, you're going to need a lot more than what you think. You're going to have to talk to a lot more people. You're going to have to get way more money. Like I remember whenever I first started, whenever I was making $230 a week, in my mind, because I just didn't know, I said, if I can make 50K, I'll be set. I'll never have to work again. And you make the 50K, then you're like, okay, well, there's all this extra cost with being an entrepreneur. And for me to live the lifestyle I want, now if I get to 150 and then you arrive there and you're like, okay, this still is not what everybody says that it is. Where's the Lambos? You know? So for me, it has been kind of eye-opening to see. And that's why I say don't get caught up in the social media stuff, because most of like it was very discouraging for me in the beginning, because I'm operating like a legit brick and mortar, selling real estate. I'm moving like buildings. And then you have some of these online people, they're like, they have a rental car business flexing Lambos as their own. And you're like, oh, where's my Lambo? You know? So for me, it has really shown me most of the kids that you see posting that stuff, especially our age, right? It's not even real. It's an illusion. It's like deceiving everyone. And you start really seeing once you start getting into the 200K range, and thankfully we've been able to connect with a lot of, you know, people that have real money. They're buying $1 million properties, cash money. And you start seeing what those types of people actually look like versus what we see online. And it's just kind of eye-opening. You start seeing what it really takes to actually get those, you know, material things that you kind of crave whenever you don't come from anything, you know. That's been kind of like a eye opener for me. So
yeah, I really appreciate you sharing that, because I do see a lot of I think it's almost more, I see some ladies, but I think almost more on the guy's side of like things that pop up in my YouTube feed for entrepreneurs and things. There's always like, oh, meet this guy who got like a million from Forex today. Like there's always this, and they're always trending. And I'm always like, how are all these young guys? Like, it's so interesting, right? I think the goals are shared a little differently. What I hear from you is that like, as you're growing, you're building the team and you're dealing with the expenses. So it's not just the reality of revenues. It's like, what's the actual profit? What's the infrastructure that you need to actually have that team? So that kind of leads to my, I guess, last question for today is like, where is Angler Group now? And where do you see it in the next 5 years?
So last year we finished off the year doing about $9 million in sales. So we're doing all right. But to me now, I'm kind of getting away from working in the business on the real estate side. And I'm trying to start up another thing in the coaching space. And my goal now is to, I really want to help the guy that was in the exact same position, or girl, right? In the exact same position that I was, that they're not making hardly any money. Maybe they're not even sure they even want to make any money. They just don't know what to do. You know, if I could help that person understand that they have the ability to create any life that they wanted to, you know, that's kind of where we're going now. And anybody that I work with now that is on my team, it is very important to me to not only for them to be a part of the team and like, yay, they're creating money for me, but I want to look to like the hills over here and like every single person on my team, every single person that I've helped have a Lambo in their yard, have the Beverly Hills area. I want to look over there and be like, yeah, my team, that's all my team's houses over there. Everybody I've worked with is over there. So that's kind of where we're going. So
collective success. So not just success for yourself, but success for the people in your team and I guess in your community. For sure. Thank you so much, Cameron, for being on the Okiki podcast today. I have to say this was a very insightful and refreshing conversation, especially because this is our first time talking, but for sure inspired by your story, what you've overcome and what you're doing now and what your goals are in helping other people. And thank you so much for sharing your wisdom today. And I want to ask, where can the audience find you if they want to connect with you and your story and of course your group as well?
Yeah. So the easiest way to get in touch with me is on Instagram. It's at Cameron Engler. And you can check out our website at theengler.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing with the Okiki podcast today.
Thank you for having me.